It's 5 minutes with me.
Hi, folks. Marco here. Welcome to 5 minutes with Marco. Hey, you are listening to an episode that here we are after like 80 episodes, and it's the very first time I've had a guest on 5 minutes with Marco. There's not a lot of room for guests in 5 minutes, but I'm trusting that my friend Brock Morgan will be short-winded. Brock and I have been friends for, gosh, I don't know, at least 25 years, I think. We first met when we were both junior high youth workers at churches near each other, and we worked together. He lived in my home for a little while. He's currently the youth pastor and some other stuff, associate pastor at the Bridge Church in Chino, California. Is that right? Did I get it right, Brock?
Yeah, man, you got it right.
Awesome. Okay. Brock is the author of The Anxious Teen, an excellent book, and thought we'd talk for a few minutes about anxiety in teenagers. So, Brock, my first question for you is, it seems like all the youth workers that I interact with have noticed a significant rise in the quantity of teenagers who are struggling with anxiety. Can you give us some indication of why that might be?
For sure. I mean, we know that in 2010, 5 million more teenagers got a smartphone than had ever had one before. And we know that cell phones are super addicting. Social media is super addicting. Screens of all kinds are super addicting. And it's not, that addiction problem is not just with teenagers. Dude, it's with me. Like, I have my own issues with picking up my phone at ridiculous times. Because I'm just drawn to it. But this has caused significant anxiety among young people, among humanity, really, and it's having some serious impact in the kids that we are working with as youth workers every day. And so, yeah, they look at their social media and anxiety levels raise because of this constant deal with comparing themselves to the beautiful lives on social media. We all present amazing lives and experiences on our social media threads, and that has a serious impact. We have gaming addictions, which has serious impact among young people. But then there are some other reasons besides screens, and people can Google, you know, screen impact and smartphone impact, but there's some other reasons for addiction being a rise.
Like what?
And I would say one of them is happiness is all the rage. Huh. So if I don't constantly feel happy, there's something wrong. And so mom and dads feel like it's their job to make sure their children are always happy.
Right.
So let's say little Tommy is feeling sad. Mom and dad feel like it's their job to make him feel happy. Little Tommy is feeling angry. Well, that's their job to calm him down. And so little Tommy has grown up always feeling like if he's not happy, then there's something really wrong. And this has really been at a detriment to young Tommy. And so he's never learned that actually it's normal and healthy to sometimes feel sad or frustrated or guilty or disappointed and even angry sometimes. But these are healthy emotions. And so we have a generation of young people who just have not learned how to cope with some of those things because happiness is all the rage.
Yeah. Hey,
I got Brock, more.
I'm sure you could give us more. We'll never get it under five. People need to have their appetite wet so they can read the book, right? But can you tell us, you've got a personal connection to this topic that is not about screens. Can you give us 30 seconds on that?
One evening I started I thought I was having a heart attack, and I got rushed to the hospital and went through a test, spent the night there. And this actually happened three different times. I don't say that in the book, but that's how clueless I was that I was actually having panic attacks and dealing with severe anxiety because of the work environment. I was in. And there are times, and I think youth workers can say amen, where the church can be a very difficult place to minister in. And dude, I felt it. And my wife came to me and was like, Brock, you need to go get help because you're a mess. I thought she was overreacting and was like, no, but actually this kept occurring from time to time. And I realized I need help. I got counseling. I got help. And the cool thing is that this was about a little after 2010. All of a sudden, all these kids started dealing with anxiety. And I knew exactly what they were dealing with. And before that, I wouldn't have had a clue. I just would have been like, dude, get over it. You're fine. But it filled me with such empathy because I understood what they were going through. And it kind of became my secret power.
Oh, that's interesting. Really interesting. Yeah. Okay. Before we wrap up, again, I don't want to treat this topic lightly by saying, give us a few tips, but give us a few tips.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go quickly. And then you just say, all right, stop when we're running out of time. Okay. I think number one, reintroduce prayer and meditation as a normative rhythm in your ministry. So I realized that kids are coming in with this stuff on the outside. They might look fine, but dude, this is an epidemic. Yeah. And we have to be aware of that. And so I noticed that we were doing announcements longer than we were teaching kids how to pray or praying at all.
Yeah.
And so we started making prayer and meditation, meditating on the word, leading them through different prayers, silence, being still, these kinds of things. And it became normal to the point where our kids now, if we don't have times of prayer, or at the very least, where they can go get prayed for after a talk before they run off to small group, they feel like they're getting ripped. Huh. And so our place, we need to create sanctuary for our kids. And youth group should be the safest place for them.
Yeah.
And a place where they're understood, a place where they can sense God's presence. And so we have to make that a priority. That would be like step one.
Awesome.
I would also say become small group focused. If you're a small youth group, you have a huge, massive advantage of this. But we're noticing the rise of social anxiety. So walking into a room full of your peers that you may not know, or you don't spot that one friend, anxiety levels go up. So begin in small groups. Make it a focus. We've even done the buddy system where we have a kind of mentoring. You can kind of think of mentoring happening where they come in, they meet their mentor. They're immediately put into their small group. So all of a sudden we've noticed the anxiety levels coming down. And so
quick third one.
That would be a quick third one. You have to, as a youth worker, connect with and be in partnership with experts because you will be a first responder.
Yeah.
So kids trust you. They know you love them. And so when they're struggling, they're going to come to you, and you can't just be a listening ear. You have to get them to the people who can actually, you're going to be out of your depth very quickly. Mm. And you got to get them to a counselor to help. That is huge as youth workers, as first responders, that we are a bridge to get them to the right person where they can have health and wholeness going forward.
Awesome. Thank you, Brock. You guys, one of the things I just have always loved about Brock is that he's still in the trenches doing this every week, man. And it's been amazing in the last year or two. How long have you been at your current role?
Two and a half.
Yeah, to see how your ministry's taken on a whole new tone to it as you've started to be more intentional about addressing these issues and creating space for it. So thanks, man. Everybody, blessings. Make sure you read The Anxious Teen.
The Youth Cartel Podcast Network.